Hallelujah. Jesus ransomed me. Do you understand that Christ came and brought you from a place that was a pit? Do you understand that Jesus Christ ransomed you from your sinful hearts and brought you inside the veil? The place where the mercy of God is your constant portion. The place where the delight of the Lord is your inheritance. Christ has brought us into the fullness of the glory of God through His blood work. This morning we're going to read of an instance in which the Lord did that, and we're going to take that as an example from which we can learn many things. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 1. If you were at my house immediately after we read this, we'd have to sing, "He's Able. He's Able." We had the funny occurrence this week. I don't know if it's funny or not. I think it was a blessing to my own heart. We asked my daughter, after we had read through this little portion of Scripture, "Katie, who did Jesus heal?" And she pipes up, "The brokenhearted." Well, that's because we've been singing, "He heals the brokenhearted. He sets the captive free." He does do that. But this morning we're going to be speaking about the Lord and the leper. The Lord and the leper. Matthew chapter 8, verse 1 says, "When he was come down from the mountain, the great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." Amen. The Lord's word, may it be blessed to our hearts. This morning we're going to take as our text that statement, particularly from verse 3, where the Lord says, "I will be thou clean. I will be thou clean." I have a very simple aim this morning, and that is to set before you hope. Hope. Before we consider anything further from the Word of God, let's turn our hearts to Him in prayer, and let's ask Him to meet with us, to speak to us, to feed us, and to take us on with Himself for His name's sake. Our Father and our God, we are Thy people. We are the sheep of Thy pasture. We are those who have a desire to meet with Thee and to hear Thy Word speak to our hearts. Lord, we confess to Thee that we know readily that our flesh, that our minds, and the devil are set against us. And Lord, we would pray that Thou wouldst overrule. Lord, Thou didst tell us in Thy Word that where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Lord, we pray that Thou will prove that to be our testimony even this morning. That where we find weakness and unbelief, where we find coldness and we find complacency, may we find in its place this day by Thy grace, faith and hope and love. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt fan our hearts today as we look at Christ. Lord, bless Thy Word. Bless the preaching of Thy Word. Bless the effect of Thy Word in the hearts of those who hear. And Lord, we pray that Thou wilt draw all men to Thyself as Christ is sought to be lifted up. Lord, allow Thy Spirit to be our guide, our helper, and our strength this day. Do bless us for the sake of Christ. Help me now as Thy servant. I plead the blood over my own heart. Lord, give me thoughts that are sculpted in heaven for this hour. Bless now, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. The setting of our text this morning is the Lord Jesus returning back down the mountain after he had just delivered the Sermon on the Mount. He was followed by that same great multitude that had gathered around him to hear his words and to find his healing. The conclusion, I say, of all that heard Christ that day was that he spoke with one who had authority. He did not speak as did the Pharisees and the scribes. He had the right and the power to make such statements of the Lord's will and the Lord's mercy. So this was the conclusion of those that heard him. No man spake as this man. It is also noteworthy that the Lord Jesus, immediately upon coming down from the mountain, heals three. Each of these healings is noted for its own lesson. The healing of the leper speaks of the Lord's accessibility, and through his word he delivers the most vile of men. When you consider the healing of the centurion's servant, we see a healing that is by word only. The presence of the Lord is not required, only faith. The healing of Peter's mother-in-law preaches that the putting right of the needs of a man's heart immediately renders that man useful for the Lord. Each one of these lessons is an important lesson for us to learn. It is an important thing for us to understand about our Savior's work of healing of the heart. But this morning we are going to only consider one of these incidents, and that is the healing of the leper. This is an extraordinary scene, and I will not try to obscure it by assumption or conjecture. We will approach this text in the simplest of ways. I want us just to consider three things: the leper, the Lord, the lesson. The leper, the Lord, the lesson. And I will seek to prove this point from these three things: that Christ is a ready healer to all who will come to him by faith. Christ is a ready healer. This morning we're first going to consider the leper. We're going to consider this man who came to the Lord as the Lord descended from that mountain with the crowd in his train. This man who we are not sure what, if perhaps he was some part way up the mountain and heard the Lord or not. But the man meets with the Lord as the Lord comes down from the mountain. This man, the scripture says, was a leper. G. Campbell Morgan, in talking of leprosy, says the following. He says, "Leprosy, in the mind of the Hebrew, was the ultimate symbol of moral depravity. The whole ceremonial law emphasized that fact because of its nature, of its insidious beginnings, of its slow progress, of its destructive power, and the ultimate ruin wrought by it. It became a powerful symbol of moral depravity." And he goes on to make a comment much like this. He says, "It cannot be hidden that the leper meeting Christ was holiness in the flesh, standing face to face with sin in the flesh in its most terrible manifestation. The Holy Son of God coming face to face with what might represent in the mind of men the worst of moral decay, the worst of sin, the worst that a heart might bring forth. Here's the image. Christ is face to face with the greatest of sinners." That's the picture that would have been in the mind of the Jews as they saw the Lord stop and look at this man that day. Perhaps you have considered how you stand before the Lord. You look at yourself and you know your weight of sin. as you think about how you look to the one who sees your every thought, to the one who sees you down to the depth of your heart, perhaps you would say, you know what? This description, this scene here of Christ looking on the leper is not that much different than my own heart, the way I feel it. Well, let me say, there is a message here. There is a message here for you. If that's how your heart comes this morning to this place, I say there is a message here for you. A sinner standing before the Lord of heaven, the one who will not pass over sin, might come to the same conclusions as the leper did that day, but I do say that there's a message. But let's consider this leper before we go on to the message. Who was this leper? What was this leper? Well, the first thing I want you to understand is that this man was hopelessly unclean. He was hopelessly unclean. There is absolutely no help for the man who comes to this point in his affliction with leprosy. There's no help in himself. All of his body is affected. You know, sometimes we think that leprosy is just that which is on the surface. That's not true. Some of you who know a little bit about medicine perhaps could give testimony to this. The leprosy is a disease that goes all the way through the body. It goes to the deep tissues. It goes down to the bones. It affects the mind. It affects the workings of the organs. It shows itself most readily outwardly by the decay. Now, we don't see leprosy today quite the way it was in the days that we read of here. There are ways that they can minimize the effects of leprosy today. In fact, our brother Bill Woods, who's a missionary in Brazil, deals with people who are suffering from leprosy. And certainly his testimony is that you do not see these dreadful effects. But that's not to say that the disease left to itself, that the disease in its fullest form does not produce the kinds of things that we read of in the Scriptures day. It shows itself outwardly. It shows on the outside that which is also taking place on the inside. This man was fully afflicted by leprosy to the point where he was hopeless. There was no help in the ordinary skills of physicians or priests. The man, and if you will allow, this may be a grotesque statement, but I say this is the point of it. This man is literally going to rot to death. That is the picture. The man is rotting to death. But I want you to understand that what we take from this scripture and what we mean to say by the association that the Hebrews had for this picture is that this image, this horrible, hopeless picture is true of a man who is standing in his sins and standing in his iniquity. I say there is no difference for a sinner spiritually or morally before God than there was in this leper as he stood before Christ physically. James chapter 1 and verse 15 says, "Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." That's the image here. A soul, a heart that is going to perish because of the pollution of sin. We might ask the question, who can help? Who can help a man in such a case? I want you to understand the answer is the same as what the answer was for this leper. When you look anywhere else but to the man that stood before him at the bottom of that mountain, you find no help anywhere. Oh, that we might preach this loud and clear. For a soul that has been infected by the sin of Adam, for a soul that has come in contact with that loathsome disease of rebellion against God, there is for that man no hope anywhere in himself or in any other man. When you sin, your sins begin their work and eventually brings forth death. In fact, I might even ask, before you came to Christ, those who of you who are here who know Christ, Was it not the testimony of your own soul as you looked at your sin? I am a dying. Were you not concluding, this brings me to destruction? I think that every one of us who has ever come to the feet of Jesus Christ and confessed our sins has concluded, I am dying because of this. My sins are leading me to a Christless eternity, an eternity of death and hell. I am a dying. You say, no man feels that. No man feels that kind of thing. That he bears the weight of sin and that he is being taken in that direction. Let me tell you something. I probably have told you this story once before, maybe twice before, I don't know. But it has been etched in my memory in such a way that I can't forget it. I remember when I was a young man, I was probably just about 20 years old, I went to Scotland as a summer mission team missionary. And what it was my place as the helper for the missionary I was working with to go around the town and knock the doors and see if we couldn't let people know about the church or talk to them about the Lord, whatever I could do. And I remember coming to one lady's door, an older lady. She was retired or was that age. And she invited me in and we sat down and we began talking. And I was talking to her about the things of the Lord and she began to weep. And she began to tell me the story about her husband. Her name was Mrs. Smith. She began to tell me the story about her husband who had died just, oh, maybe not even a year before I was there. And she was so disturbed at what had taken place at his death that she couldn't help shaking. She told me of a man who lay on his deathbed with his family there. He had at least one son. I think there were more children, but I only knew the one son. And certainly Mrs. Smith was there. And as he lay dying, his comments were, take my feet out of the fire. Somebody lift my feet out of the fire. My feet, they're burning, they're burning. And she said, I was so undone by this. I had to leave the room with my children and we had to leave him there because he was just in a fit of anguish that he was with his feet in the fire. Let me tell you what, there's no other way to take that but that the man knew that his end had come, that he lay there a-dying, and that he was about to enter into an eternity without Christ. That was the conclusion of his wife that upset her so. Let me tell you what. It is not make-believe that your sins are leading you to death. It is not make-believe that as you stand without Christ, you stand a dying. I say this morning, your heart, if it's an honest heart, knows that right well. Those of us who have come, who have fled to Jesus Christ for mercy and for deliverance from hell can testify, yes, that was how we found it to be. We knew that we were lost and undone without the Son of God. That's why we came. This man was hopelessly unclean. What's interesting, and I say tragic, is that the world can look at this very fact. The fact that their sins are leading them fast to hell and can conclude, let's have more sin. Let's go onward in our way. Let's dig our pit deeper. You say, that's not true. Oh, yes, it is. Jeremiah chapter 18 and verse 12 says, talks of a people who were in rebellion against the Lord. And it says, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will everyone do the imagination of his evil heart. Yes, that is a conclusion. Oh, let's just forget about the whole thing. Let's just go on in the way that we're going. Let's just heap upon our head more of the coals of God's wrath, as it were. Let's just fill up our hearts and our lives with all of our sin and all the pleasure we can get for ourselves. Oh, I'm here to say to you, there's a message. You stand a-dying if you're without Christ this morning. That's the message of the leper. When we look at this man, that's the message of his rotting flesh. We stand a-dying because of our sin. He was hopelessly unclean. He was also, I say, hideously unclean. This man was rotting away. Men could hardly bear to look at him. Let me ask a question. Do you have things that you would wish for no one to know about? Do you have things? And if you had other people see those things, they would have to say, I can hardly look at that. Why would you not want people to look at the things that you have in the deep parts of your heart? Because you'd say, I'm ashamed. I'm ashamed. Yes, I say, sin makes a man hideous, even to those who say, hail fellow, well met, hail friend. If they all knew what was going on in the deep of your heart, I'm afraid we would all appear hideous. But I say there's a greater grief. Your sin has not only come up as hideous to men to whom it appears shameful, but your sin is that upon which the Lord of heaven cannot look. How miserable is the condition of a man who is hideous because of sin. Hideous. What conclusions can he make? What hopeful thinking can he have? What assumptions can he have? I say one thing that you would have to say, marked this leper, was that he was a man who was filled with doubt. Man filled with doubt. Lord, if thou wilt. Lord, if thou wilt. There was doubts that the leper had. I say there was no doubt. There's one, no doubt about a couple of things. First, he didn't doubt that he wanted to be cleansed and rid of his plight. There was no doubt about that. And there was no doubt that the one to whom he came, this one that had descended from the mountain after healing all those others that were up there and had spoken so wonderfully, there was no doubt that Jesus could heal him. Where there was doubt was this: will Christ receive me? Will Christ receive me? Will he look on me? I am a hideous man. I bear the symbol of moral decay. Christ knew the law. He knew what the Jews thought about the lepers and what they represented. He knew that Christ would look upon him as one who represented the embodiment of sin. Will Christ receive me? Lord, if. Lord, if. I say, here, we sang earlier that hymn, Inside the Veil, but did you remember that there was a couple of stanzas that did not say inside the veil? It talked about those who were not inside the veil. They called them those who were outside the camp. Can you understand where this man was? Indeed. Yes, he was one who was outside the camp. He was one who was shunned. He was one who was, by law, forced from the presence of the people of God. He had no God. He had no place in the inheritance of Israel. He was a man without a life. Quite literally. A man without a life. He was outside the camp. And nothing could change that. He was hideously unclean. But I say that that is also true of any man who is yet in his sins. And I want you to understand, I'm not talking just about older people. I'm talking about, and I want you younger people to hear me too. This is true of young people too. You need to come to Christ because your sins are still upon you. You need to trust in Christ because, indeed, and need to be saved. I say that this being alienated from God and being hideous in the sight of God is indeed true of the man and his sin. You say, how can you possibly mean that? Well, because Isaiah chapter 59 verse 2 makes it clear. It says, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. You are separated from God because of your sin. There is a hideousness about you because you're still in your sin. You may say, oh, I'm not hideous, I'm a nice guy. No, not necessarily so. And may I go further? No, indeed, not so. I want you to also see about this leper is that he was harmfully unclean. He was harmfully unclean. The man was being consumed himself. His condition was openly destroying him. Dr. Morgan makes the statement, this was the key thought of leprosy in the Jewish mind. See what comes of sin? Harm, destruction. See what comes because of sin. You're not going to escape it. You're not going to escape it. We might ask a question at this point. Did this man and the leprosy that came upon him come as a result of sin? Well, there's no proof. But the lesson that over and over went through the minds of the Jews was this: see what comes of sin. Whether he had sinned and the Lord judged him or not, the Jews were thinking, see what comes of sin. It is amazing that men can look at the end of sin and yet find no repentance within themselves. I don't think you find this leper saying in his mind, well, sin might affect others, but it's not going to affect me. This man was not concluding that. He saw that he was harmfully unclean, that this sin did indeed harm him. In fact, he was perhaps the embodiment of the statement that the Lord makes to His people in Numbers chapter 32 and verse 23. Behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out. It will come out. But I want you to understand, lest you think or perceive something incorrectly, this man's condition was harmful to others. This man's condition was harmful to others. The condition was one in which there was a spreading. Let me just be very blunt with you this morning. Do not think that your sin has no effect on others. We might think, well, wait a minute, no, it's my sin or it's my ill-doing. All that I do is the only one that the Lord is going to require this of, and the only effect it's going to have is on me. That is a lie right from the pit. Your sins will affect others. Your sin, let's be very plain, your sin will affect your loved ones. Parents, your sin will affect your children. You may think, oh, no, we'll just teach them to do right. They'll never, the things that I do wrong, the things that I find against, that are the shame of my heart, no, let me tell you what. It doesn't take you long to be out in the world and to deal with people coming around you with their children to understand, I can see these kids coming right along in the very same way that their parents did. I can see them having the same problems that their parents did. I can see them having the same corruptions. I can see them having the same habits. I can see them having the same attitudes. I can see them having the same perversions or the same defilements. I can see them having the same propensities. I'm telling you this morning, you can see in the lives of children the sins of their parents. And I say this morning, whether parent or not, you do not sin to yourself. Sin is that which affects others. The leper was a man who knew his great danger and had no way to change his situation. He was without a hope. Can we put it this way? That the leper was a man who dwelt in the valley of the shadow of death. That may seem a horrible, horrible thing, and it was. But I said earlier, there's a message. The message is this. Isaiah 9, verse 2. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. The message I say this morning is this, that although the leper would have to conclude things about himself, there was the Lord. So we come to our second thought, and I say this morning, if you will allow, this is the centerpiece of this message. I want us to consider the Lord. There was a light in the darkness. It was Christ. In truth, I want you to understand that the message that comes from this incident has little to do with the leper. He is an example given in God's Word. In some ways, yes, to even shock our senses as we would consider the terrible, terrible case of his illness. But he really stands, as we all do, mired in a pit of sin from which we cannot free ourselves. The centerpiece, the shining point of this whole incident is that Jesus wills to deliver men from their desperate and deepest dangers. Christ wills. And I would like to point out to you this morning two things about our Lord. Things that I hope will encourage your heart. Things that I hope will cause faith to grow. I first want to point you to the Lord of mercy. The Lord of mercy. This man dwelt in the valley of the shadow of death, but we read, when he was come down from the mountain, Christ came to the valley. Christ came to where this man was. Christ was all about mercy. In fact, if you would, I would suggest to you that the very word mercy, if you want to say, has an embodiment, has a picture, has a physical object lesson, it is the person of Jesus Christ. He is mercy. He is God's mercy. He is all about mercy. Mercy was the covenant that was ratified between the Father and the Son in eternity past. We read about that this morning. And when we opened our service, when we read about the Lamb slain before the foundation of the earth, what was manifest in these last times for you. Mercy was there in that day of covenant making. Mercy was the character of Him who was promised. When you look at Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 9, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love Him. The character of Christ was the character of mercy. Sort of interesting that when Christ would walk through the streets, but you would hear those who were needing His help cry to Him. Well, what was the first word you heard out of their mouth? What was the first thing that we have recorded that Bartimaeus cried? Mercy! Mercy! How many were those who came to the feet of Christ and asked for mercy? I say that Christ was mercy. Mercy was the gift that was received at the feet of Christ to every man that fell there. But my point would be this. Remember we sang about this man being outside the camp. But then in our hymn this morning, we read about through the blood work of Jesus Christ, those who were polluted, those who were in the pit, those who were outside the camp, were brought where? Inside the veil. My question is, what is inside the veil? There was nothing inside the veil except one thing. The mercy seat of God. The mercy seat of God. We are brought to the place where Christ's mercy, the mercy of God, is brought to us. We are able to be helped, to be healed, to be saved by the Lord through the work of Jesus Christ. He was the Lord of mercy. He came down among the needy. I think that that is often what we read of the Lord Jesus. He comes down among those who are not able to journey up to Him. He comes to those who have the deepest needs. How many times do you read in the Scripture, "I will come and heal"? In fact, in this very chapter, you read that statement made as the Lord is brought to the place where He meets the representatives of the centurion. And the Lord says, "Oh, okay, I understand the need of His servant. I will come and heal." How many times do we see the Lord say, "I will come"? I will come. Your heart this morning may tell you that the Lord Jesus is always far away and that He holds Himself from you. You may say, "You know, that I don't think I can ever really know that I can get to Christ." Let me tell you what, you can't get to Christ. You can't journey up the mountain. The hope that you have is that Christ will come and heal you. And I'm here to tell you this morning that Christ does give us every indication that He is here in our midst today. "I am in the presence of the two or the three that are gathered in My name." Christ has come alongside you this morning. I hope you understand that. Christ has come alongside you this morning. And He's offering for your heart to be healed by His touch. If you'll heed, will you turn to Christ? Oh, Christ is close at hand to save or to make whole. Christ is a man of mercy because He stopped at the word of the leper. The leper came to the feet of Christ and he fell down and he worshipped Him. Whether he was allowed to do this by the Lord is not the point. Some would make a controversy about that. This man had no rights. He shouldn't have been there. And the Lord allowing him to come was not appropriate. That's not the point of this. The method of his worship is further not the point. The point is this, that I'm trying to get across to you, that the Lord is a God of mercy. And that He extends, even through this man's action, a reaffirmation of those words that He speaks to us in John. "Him that cometh unto Me, I will in no wise cast out." Can you hear it? Can your soul hear those words? "Him that cometh unto Me, I will in no wise cast out." Do you mean, even though I am a hideous, hopeless leper of a man, you're welcome? You are welcome on that ground around the feet of Christ. You can imagine that all those who were of the multitude that followed Christ would be afraid to walk on the same ground upon which the leper had just fallen, lest they be contaminated. Let's just be honest, and we will make a confession to you. Do we see men who know Christ cringing at the sight of sin? Yes. Yes. Do we ever see Christians being repelled because a sinner has so much sin as to be repulsive? Yes, we have to confess that's the way we are. But that's not Christ. Do not judge the Savior by the weakness that you see in the hearts of those who believe in Him. Christ did not cringe when He saw this man. How disfigured was this man? I don't know. But I do know this, that Christ had no repulsion at the appearance of this man. He saw what this man was, and He did not pull back. Christ was the Lord of mercy, because indeed we see that he had also no fear of this man's disease. There was a knowledge of what was going on in this man. He understood everything that this disease was doing to this man, and that there was no fear in the heart of the Lord to draw close. There's fear in our hearts oftentimes as Christians to draw close to people when we see great problems. I don't know exactly whether that's because we don't know what to do, or whether because we feel like we have come out of sin ourselves and don't want to have to touch it again. I don't know what it is. That's not the Savior, though. The Lord Jesus had no fear of this disease, and Christ had no contempt for a man in decay. Oh, hallelujah, what a Savior. Christ had no contempt for a man that was rotting away. We see often in men there is contempt, but there was no contempt in Christ for this man in his decay, whether physically, morally, or spiritually. Christ will receive men in trouble. I say, what mercy do you hear in those two little words offered to such a man? I will. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. You can change me altogether. You can change this whole thing. The Lord says, I come close. I will. I will. But I want you to also see the mercy of the Lord in that he touched and healed the leper. Now let's just make a note here. Some have sought to accuse the Lord Jesus here at this point. They say that the law forbade the touching of a leper. The Lord Jesus touched the leper. Therefore, the Lord Jesus broke the law. Well, let me just stop and put that statement in its perspective. If that was true, then you and I have no salvation. If Christ broke the law here, you and I have no perfect righteousness that's been imputed to us, wherewith we are clothed before the sight of God. You and I have no hope. Let's also understand this, that if Christ broke the law, that leper would not have been healed. For certainly the power of God is not on sin. Christ broke no law. Christ broke no law. When Mr. Morgan, Dr. G. Campbell Morgan, looked at that statement, he says, my conclusion is simply this. When the Scripture tells us that the Lord stretched forth his hand and touched him, his statement is, the Lord did not touch the leper. The Lord did not touch the leper. Now, lest you understand me incorrectly, let me tell you what he says. He says this, the Lord did not touch the leper. He touched a cleansed man. The man at the point when Christ's hand landed upon his shoulder was a man who had already been cleansed. It was the power of the will of Christ. It was the power of the Word of Christ. Let me just say for you this morning, those of you who wonder, how is it that I could possibly be healed? How is it that my soul can be made right? Is there hope? I say, in an instant. In an instant, all it takes is for the Savior to say those two little words in his heart as much as from his lips, I will. You're healed. You're freed from your sin. You're forgiven. You're right with God. You stand in glorious dress. You stand forever holy unto the Lord your God, all because Jesus Christ says, I will. I will. The transformation was immediate. This man stood with Christ's hand upon his shoulder as a man that had been made whole. We might ask the question, well, why did Christ go further to touch him then? What was the meaning of that touch? If not to heal, well, we might say this, that most likely it was to demonstrate to the man and to all watching that he was clean. And that he was acceptable in the sight of God now. Oh, let me ask you this morning. Do you not want the hand of the Lord upon your shoulder? Is it not something that your soul needs? Do you not need to know that you're right with God? It can be. It can be. You can be healed. That's the picture here. Oh, I say this is a tremendous picture of the greatness of the forgiveness of sins. The Lord speaks the word, and then the Lord reaches forth and touches me. You know, this is just exactly the opposite of the picture of the man bringing his ram to the altar. There it was, a man dripping with sin, coming and having to place his hand on the head of a pure ram, a spotless ram, thereby the transfer of guilt, so to speak, by way of object lesson. But now we see something that's inside the veil. We've been brought in by Christ. Now it is the hand of fellowship of the Lord as He draws us, as it were, to Himself to stand with us at the mercy seat. Oh, it is the touch of acceptance, I say. Brought inside the veil. And my comment to you this morning, my point, I think, that I really want you to understand is this. See how ready the Savior was to do this. It was as if the words barely got out of the leper's mouth. And the Lord was already saying, I will. The leper came and he fell down at the feet of Christ, and he could only offer but just a couple of words. And yet you see Christ in his heart so ready to do this man good. I will. Be thou clean. Do not let your heart think this morning for a second that Christ is not willing to help you. That Christ is not willing to solve the matters regard your soul. Christ is ready indeed. He was a Lord of mercy, and I just simply will point out that He was a Lord of might. Here we see that Christ was a powerful Savior. When we look at this man, we have to say that the leprosy was so embedded, was so throughout the whole body of the leper, as to say, how can this be removed? How can you might be able to salve over or to patch, as it were, some problem on the surface. But this is a problem that goes clean through. Understand the power of Christ. When the Lord says, be thou clean, this man was not just cleaned up on the surface, but underneath was left still with disease. That did not happen. He was cleaned all the way through. His guilt, his sin, his depravity, his abominable disease, all was taken completely away. Let me just say, the Lord does not just clean up my appearance to men when He saves. He cleans me all the way through. He cleans my heart. I will be thou clean. And who would do such a work? Only Christ. Hebrews 7:25, wherefore He is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. I say you have the picture here in Matthew chapter 8 of a leper with no hope, a leper that's hideous and harmful. But more importantly, we have a picture of the Lord of mercy and the Lord of might. Well, let's quickly note the lesson. There are some very right conclusions that we can draw from this whole matter. First, and in some ways we haven't mentioned these already, but let me just enumerate them for you. First, I want you to understand this. I can come to Christ. That's lesson number one. I can come to Christ. There is nothing that prevents me from coming to Christ. Sometimes we get it in our minds. We even as Christians get it in our minds. And all of us would probably have to shake the head yes on this point. We get it in our minds that this is true. The Lord's not going to really receive me until I am sorry, or until I'm a little more righteous than I am now, or until I've had a time to show adequate repentance, or until such time as the thing that I have found to be a sin has proven to loosen its hold on me, or whatever else, then I can come to the Lord. The lesson of Matthew chapter 8 is you come as you are. You come as you are. This is a message to Christian and to sinner. This is a statement to every man who will hear it. Come to Christ as you are. For He receives sinful men. Christ receiveth sinful men. Come in your deadness of heart. Yes, yes. Bring that old dead heart along with you. Come to Christ with it. Come to Christ with that mind that's filled with confusion and filled with self and the ways of the world. Come in your sorrow. Yes, come in your hardness. Come in your sin. Come to Christ. Perhaps some of you this morning are even listening to your own heart, as your heart would conjure up reasons why you should not or may not come to Christ. Perhaps you're even sitting here in this room this morning, and if you will, you're arguing with the preacher. You're saying, now wait a minute, I know why I cannot come to Christ, and I know why I don't want to come to Christ. I can't do anything about the second of those two, but I'm telling you, the first one is you have no reason why you cannot come to Christ. This man had a legal reason why he should not come to Christ. This man had a spiritual reason why he should not come to Christ. This man had a physical reason why he should not come to Christ. And indeed, there was an ethical reason why this man should not come to Christ, because he would be putting Christ in a place of perhaps having to diminish the whole sermon that he just preached by dealing with a man such as he. But he came, and Christ received him, and not after some amount of time. Christ received him immediately. You can come to Christ. That's my first lesson. My second lesson is this. I can be cleansed by Christ. And so I ask this morning, as we take this word and we think about it, let those two words, I will, let them go down deep into your soul. If you will come to Christ today, whether you be a saint or whether you be one who wishes he was a saint, if you will come to Christ, He will make you clean. I say there is no other truth of Scripture, no truth of life that is as certain as that. If you will come to Christ, He will make you clean. And I will say this morning, do not put your unbelief up as a counterweight of that to that statement. You know, we have a nasty habit. Some of us do this more than others, but we all have this nasty habit. Whenever we hear something that is of a truth of this kind, we also like to, along with that positive, bring along our negative, our doubts, whatever, so that we can put them both in the scale. Here's the positive, well, here's my negatives too. And maybe then as they balance out, somewhere in between we'll have the truth. Folly. There is no negative that stands as a counterweight to this truth. The plain, simple truth, if you'll hear it from the mouth of God, if you will come to Jesus Christ, He will cleanse you. But you don't know what I've done. There's that negative one. No. It doesn't fit here. It's not an appropriate argument. It is not an appropriate rebuttal. There is no but here. He will cleanse us from all sin, John says. If you will come to Christ, He will cleanse you. Let me ask you, child of God, what is it that you need to be cleansed of this morning? What is it that you need the hand of God to touch your heart about this morning? What is it that you find yourself perhaps even mourning over this morning? Bring it to Christ. He will cleanse you. This morning there may be one of you sits in this room who says, you know what? I'm not a believer. I would like to be. I see a whole lot of things that I don't know how to deal with them. There are issues that keep me from coming. I simply say, if you will come to Christ, He will cleanse you. And all those things will take care of themselves. Will you come? My third lesson is this. I can continue with Christ. This man, prior to Christ's healing, had no ability to go on with God. He had no right to actually come around the people of God. He had no right to think that he had anything to do with the temple and the tabernacle, or the temple, the tabernacle was gone at that point, but the temple of the Lord and the things that went on at the temple. He had no claims to the things of God. And once he left the Lord as a leper, he would have, again, no right to think that any good could ever be done. But this man, now that he was cleansed, had the ability to go on with God. The Lord told him to go and present himself to the priest. But you know what? After he did that, although this man did go out, if you read other places, if you read Mark, it tells that this man went out and proclaimed what the Lord had done. But you know what? This man had the right to stand among the rest of the crowds from that point on and to hear everything that Christ said. That man had the ability to follow Christ. He didn't have before. When Christ heals me, when Christ forgives my sins, when Christ gives me everlasting life because of faith within, I now can walk with Christ. That which was taken away from Adam there in Eden, the walking of with the Lord in the cool of the eve, is restored now. I can walk with Christ because Christ has willed to make me clean. Three simple things, three simple lessons. I indeed can come to Christ. I can be cleansed by Christ. And I can continue with Christ. We close this morning by the asking of a question. What is it that you need to have the Lord do for you today? What is it that you need the Lord to do? You know what it is. Your heart knows what it is. Will you come to Christ for this? Will you come to Christ? I will simply say, I am here as your servant for Christ's sake. I am more than willing to talk with you, to pray with you, but that's not what you need. What you need is to come to Christ. You can do so right there as we close this meeting. Lord, I come. If Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. And you'll hear the same thing that this leper heard. Will you come? Will you bring your need? If you'd like to speak with me, I'll be glad to. Just take me by the hand. After the service is over, we'll be glad to pray with you. But don't wait to come to Christ. Don't wait to come to Christ. Father in heaven, we thank Thee that Thou dost show us what we are. We're thankful, O God, that Thou dost not hide from us, that we have no remedies except through Thy Son and His blood work. Lord, I pray this morning that Thou wilt now seal to our hearts the truth that sinners may come to Christ and be healed. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt help our hearts to truly believe this. Lord, may we go on with Thee because of this. Lord, I pray that Thou wilt now dismiss us with Thy blessing. I pray that Thou wilt continue to walk with us in this day. Lord, do Thy work within our hearts. From having been in Thy Word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.